Psalm chapter 3. I read an article that Ron Edmondson had written on using this chapter as and the story that it reveals about David, talking about leadership. And as I read it, it struck me a little bit differently and struck me as an example for us of how to deal with the obstacles and the battles that we face in life. We all, I think, would say that in many ways that we are living in some of, well, on one hand, some of the easiest times with running water and air conditioning and electricity and some of those things that many years ago they wouldn't have had, but in other ways, we're living in some of the most difficult times. We're living in a time that morally and spiritually are certainly very, very bleak, and we deal with a lot of battles throughout our day. Times are hard. Families are struggling. Families are breaking apart. Employees are against the employers, and employers are against the employees, and it seems like everywhere we look, there are struggles and battles, and whether it's in the workplace or the family or at the doctor's office, it just seems like we are constantly trying to get over the hill, trying to constantly get around the latest obstacle or issue that has appeared in our life. And this chapter is really kind of you really need to go back to 2 Samuel and read the 11th through about the 19th chapter to really get the whole story that this psalm comes out of. Just very quickly, you remember David, you remember his sin with Bathsheba, and out of that, and really everything kind of from there spiraled out of control in David's life. David began to, for lack of a better word, shirk his duties as king. And his son Absalom set up camp just outside of the palace. And when the citizens would come for an audience with David, they would be met by Absalom. And Absalom would say, let me help you, and I'll give you some advice, and I will give you wisdom. And eventually, Absalom, the people began to follow him. And so David had to flee. They turned against David and turned to Absalom. And David had to flee. And some of the military, some of the army went with him. And Absalom set himself up as the king. And during that time, you notice that if in all likelihood your Bible has over that third psalm something to this effect in the superscription, a psalm of David during his flight from Absalom or something to that effect. In other words, this psalm was written while David was on the run. And most of us, as bad as our circumstance and situation might be, can never, I don't think, quite identify with what this would be like. David has been run off of the throne by his own son, and now Absalom has sent the rest of the military out to find David and presumably to execute David, to make sure that David never returns. And so David is in a huge dilemma. How will David deal with this problem? And as we look at this story today, what struck me is I think there are several principles here that we learn in how David handles this situation that you and I can take, and this may be as practical a message as I have ever delivered, in that it's some things that you and I can take from the story of David and apply in situations throughout our life. Whether it's a student facing a big exam, a problem at school, whether it's a relationship problem, whether it's health issues, financial issues, regardless of the nature of the problem. I believe what we learn from David and how he deals with this circumstance are some principles that you and I need to apply, not just can apply, but should apply to the circumstances that come in our life. And one of the reasons, two of the reasons I believe that so strongly is, for one, they work. as I look at David, they work. As I studied this lesson and thought about how it worked in my life, it works. These are just things that I think if we put into place in our life, we'll find that we're able to deal with the battles, the obstacles, the opposition in life much simpler. Again, regardless of how old you are, whether you're talking about the midterm exams, or whether you're talking about machine broke down at work, or whether you're talking about doctor's report, or whether you're talking about wayward children, marital problems, I think that these five principles will be very beneficial to us. Second reason I believe that this is so important and practical is because I think that as believers, how we deal with the obstacles and opposition in our life is our greatest testimony. Anyone can stand up and talk about how good things are going. Anyone can, as the saying goes, anybody can captain the ship on calm waters. But how we respond to difficulties is our greatest testimony. It will have more impact on those around us, our children, our employees, our neighbors and co-workers. How we respond to the difficulties in our life will have more impact than anything else we can say or do. And so as David is here in this situation, this isn't just about David. How he responds, how he reacts, those military men, those soldiers that have been faithful to him and followed him, they're watching. They're watching David's every move. How's David going to respond? How will David react? The nation of Israel is wondering, what's David going to do? What will be his next move? How will David react to being ran from the throne, to having his son take the throne from him? How will David react? Everybody wants to know, how is David going to respond to the conflict, to the obstacles that appear in his life? So this morning, I want to take this psalm and just move through it and look at it for just a moment and see five things very quickly that I think will be so beneficial if we can learn to put these to place in our life in dealing with the obstacles, opposition, disappointments, problems, whatever you want to call it. I think these five will be so beneficial. The first one is one that perhaps is the most difficult and one we struggle with the hardest. And David begins in this psalm by acknowledging and saying, you know what? All around me, the enemies have increased. One of the first things that we've got to do if we're going to overcome the obstacles, the problems in our life is just what David does. David recognizes his condition. Look what he says in that verse. He says, all around me, he says, there are increased that trouble me. Many rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him from God. You see what David is saying? David is, and I believe, don't miss this a minute, I believe in faith. I believe in thinking positive and thinking good thoughts. But here's reality. You got to face facts sometimes. David could have went out and said, all is well, and yet the army of Absalom is pursuing him. David here, before he can overcome the obstacle, he has to recognize the obstacle. And David looks, and he says, you know what, this doesn't look very good. This looks bad. They're against me, everybody. Matter of fact, he says, the things are so bad, people are saying, God can't even help me. Have you ever been to that point where you felt that way? David says, I'm to the point where people are saying about me, God won't even help him. God can't even help him. One of the first things you and I have to do to deal with obstacles is to simply to be honest and recognize the condition we're dealing with. If it's a marital issue, I think we would all agree that many times there are marital issues and one partner or the other or both will just simply pretend they're not real. They will pretend, no, there's nothing wrong, and they'll just go on making each other miserable. They'll just go on, just continue on and like nothing's wrong. They're into financial problems. There are a lot of people who the checkbook says zero, and they're still writing checks like a crazy man. It's important for us, if we're going to deal with the obstacle, is to recognize what is the problem here. One of the things that I think Tommy would probably tell you about construction, or Martin might tell you about cleaning. Before I can get the spot out, I don't even know where the spot is, what the spot is. Those kind of things. Tommy goes out and something's broke down at work. You got to assess the situation. You just don't go in with a great big hammer. I don't think, do you? Don't just go in with a great big hammer and start swinging and knocking stuff down. You can go in and look at it and figure it out, what's wrong and what needs to be done. And the same is true with the obstacles in our life. I'm all for thinking positive in faith. But if I'm not honest about the problem, how can I have faith about the problem? I don't even know what the problem is. How can I have good thoughts if I don't know what the problem is? We do that sometimes, and my wife may say amen. We do that sometimes with our health. Doctor says your cholesterol's through the roof. Well, let's be honest about it. It's time to, you got to be honest about that. Take your medicine, change your diet, we have to recognize the condition. Same thing is true of spiritual issues. One of the first things, if a person's going to come to know Christ, what's the first thing they've got to understand? They're lost. You've got to understand your need of Christ. And so all around us, in every aspect of life, I think one of the first things that we've got to do if we're going to deal with the obstacles and opposition that come our way is to step back and say, okay, what's the problem? What am I up against? What am I dealing with? What are my resources? And David looked at this and he says, it looks like the world's against me. And David sums up his issue. And so the first thing I would challenge you to do in dealing with the problems and of whatever nature they are is to be honest about the problem. Well, what's going on here? Why is there a problem? What kind of problem? Can't fix the problem till I know what the problem is. From that we move on, and David shows us something else. That once we understand and we recognize that condition, is the second thing that I notice about David. As long as he recognized the condition, but he remembers his calling. Look what David says here. David, and it's important this morning to see something. David here, I need to back up. I want you to look at something real close and see what David says here in this verse. He says, people say there's no help for him in God. David says, people are saying even God can't help me. Look what he says in the next verse, though. In the third verse, when David says here, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. People may say there's no help for me in God, but I say you are my shield. The second thing that we've got to understand if we're going to deal with problems is to understand our calling. Here's what David is in effect saying. David says, Absalom may hate me. The army may hate me, the Israel may hate me, the Jews may hate me, everybody else may hate me, my family may turn against me, but Lord, you love me. God, I have discovered that you are on my side. You are fighting for me. Regardless of the opposition, regardless of the obstacle, one of the things that David teaches us in this psalm is that we are to never take our eyes off of God. Some of you have said that this morning in your testimony. One of the things that happens, let's be honest, when opposition and obstacles come in our life, when we have difficult times, what's the first thing we tend to do? We get our eyes right off God. We move our eyes right to the problem. We forget about God. But David says here, Lord, everybody else may say I have no help, that you don't even love me. But Lord, I recognize you are my shield. You are my glory. You are the lifter up of my head. And when you look at that, I love the way David says that. He says, Lord, thou art a shield for me. Not you were, or you will be, or you might be, or you could be. You are a shield right now. When back in verse 1, verse 2, I said that the world is against me, it looks like the enemies are increasing, and everybody is even saying that you don't love me, you are a shield. Not were, not may, not could, not might, not in the future somewhere, but right now, you are a shield. And you are the lifter up of my head. Not you used to be, could be, maybe, but Lord, right now, you're keeping my head lifted up. And then I love the second part of that statement of that fourth verse when he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me out of his holy hill. Now, I have read in studying this passage, people have kind of two different opinions of what David is talking about right there. Some are saying David is reflecting and looking back and saying, well, I can have confidence today because in the past, God lifted me up. Because in the past I cried and he heard me. I believe when you look at it, actually what David is saying is David is making a prophecy, for a lack of a better word. David is looking forward here. David is saying already, he's saying, you know what? In this circumstance I cried and God heard me. In other words, David is saying, you know what? In this situation I'm claiming the victory. I already know that some way, somehow, God's going to work this out for His glory. You know, the world may be against me, but I am a child of God. One of the things that you and I need to remember that is one of Satan's greatest, it's one of his favorite and most effective tools, and that is when we face obstacles and opposition in life. Whether it's, you know, a teenager facing an exam at the high school, whether it's, your marriage on the rocks, whether it's bad news from the doctor, whether it's a checkbook, you know, all out of whack, one of Satan's favorite and most effective things that he does is to climb his little self right up on your shoulder, lean right over, grab you by the earlobe, and whisper right in, shout right in your ear, God doesn't love you, or you wouldn't be in this mess. That's one of his favorite things. And we fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Or maybe that's hook, lie, and sinker. He'll climb up there. If God really loved you, your children wouldn't act like that. If God really loved you, your job wouldn't be laying you off. If God really loved you, He'd give you the answers for that test. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be broke. If God really loved you, your job would be going better. David says, you know what? Everybody may be against me, but I'm going to remember I am a child of the King. Amen. See, here's the second principle you need to understand about dealing with obstacles. If the obstacle runs you over, if the obstacle flattens you like Wile E. Coyote on the highway, God still loves you. You are still a child of the King. He remembered his condition. He recognized his condition. He remembered his calling. Third thing that David teaches us in dealing with the obstacles and the battles of life is David then reveals his confidence. It's almost, I don't even know what the right word would be, amazing, for a lack of a better word, to read verses 1 and 2 and then read the rest of the psalm. Oh, my enemies are against me. They're growing. People say, God doesn't love me. But God is my shield. It's amazing the shift from verse 2 to verse 3. It is amazing the change in David's outlook. And you know, David here, he's facing this battle. And you and I don't know that you and I have any point of reference in this story of what David was going through. Again, just to remind you, what had happened? Absalom had Absalom had abdicated the throne. He had taken over as king and sent his army out to capture and kill David. And David, I think, was wise enough, even though he didn't want it to turn out that way, David understood that there was no way for this story to end good. You ever watch some of these, some of these funny videos on TV? And you see them, and the thought goes through my mind is, what did you think was going to happen? You know, there was just no way that was going to end good. You know, even if, there was just no way that was going to work out for you. Well, that's a lot where David is, because David, I think, is wise enough, and he's been at this king thing long enough that he understands one thing. That for this to end, him or his son had to die. I think David understood that. It wasn't his desire. We see that if you read the story. David didn't want his son killed. But David understood that the only way that this thing was ever going to go away was for Absalom to kill David or for David to kill Absalom. Otherwise, there was going to be division and fight from then on. The army is divided. The nation is divided. Whose side are you on, Absalom or David's? Nation's divided. Army's divided. Family's divided. Whose side are you on? And so David, with all of his wisdom and all of his military training and all of his skill as a warrior and all of his experience as king and background, does what anybody would do. You see what he does? He goes to sleep. That might be what, you know, the business, that might be the first, well, what are the businessmen call today, power naps? Yeah, this might be the first power nap. Yeah, I laid me down and slept. I laid me down and slept. Absalom's out to kill me. My men are looking to me for wisdom, advice, guidance. But I think I'll take a nap. David, a man after my heart. Yeah. I just lay down and go to sleep. I lay down and go to sleep. And I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. What a nap. You know, David says, I laid down and I laid me down. I like that phrase. I laid me down and I awoke. And when I did, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. You know what David says? Why is David not afraid of 10,000s of people? David's a great warrior. Well, let's be honest. You know, he killed Goliath with a slingshot. We're not talking about some rookie here. But let's be honest. I don't care how good a warrior David is. I don't care how good a soldier he is. If you and I, and some of you may not like this example, but it's just the truth. If you and I are betting on this battle, and there are 10,000s of people versus David, I'm just not sure the old boy's got that many rocks for his slingshot. Let's be honest. You and I are betting on the 10,000s, aren't we? I don't care how good a warrior David is. But why does David say, I'm not afraid of them? Because the Lord sustained me. See, the confidence was not in his doctor. The confidence was not in his military advisor. The confidence was not in his training, in his skill. His confidence was in God. You know why many times the obstacles that we face in life run us over like, you know, a possum crossing the street? You know why? Because we've put our confidence in something that is not confidence worthy. We've put our, listen, doctors are great. Marriage counselors are great. Jobs are great. Paychecks are great. Families are great. All the church is great. Church people are great. All those things. But let me tell you something if you don't know this. Church people will stab you in the back, twist it, pull it out, and do it again. Not an amen in a bunch, huh? Good. I guess that means y'all don't know that. Well, trust me. Church people, the church, the doctors get it wrong sometimes. The employers lay you off sometimes. Paychecks don't clear the bank sometimes. But Jesus never fails. David says, I'm going to place my confidence in God. You see where David, he recognized his condition. David remembered his calling. David responded and reveals his confidence. Fourth thing I notice about David in dealing with obstacles in life, in the seventh verse, David shares with us this, that he rekindles his commitment. Look what he says in this verse. He says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." You know what that means? Let me take that out of King James and put that in Jimmy's version. He knocked their teeth out. Yeah. And David says, and you know what? I'm not worried about being gummed to death by my enemy. Because God has already knocked their teeth out. God has handled it. See, what David realizes is David knows there's an obstacle out there. David's not sticking his head in the sand and saying that Absalom's not trying to kill me. David's not sticking his head in the sand and pretending this doesn't exist. But what David is saying is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That David is saying, he didn't bring me this far to abandon me. David is saying that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's what David said. David isn't saying the problem doesn't exist. David is just simply saying, it doesn't matter how big the problem is, my God is bigger. Amen. Learn how to deal with obstacles. Keep that in mind. No matter how big it is, our God is bigger. He recognizes his condition. He rekindles his commitment. And then the final thing I notice about David is this. Notice what happens in this last verse. You have to look at it closely, but it struck me this way. David says, "Their salvation belongs upon the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people." I didn't catch that at first. But it struck me. Who is David running from? Absalom and part of God's, part of thy people, right? Part of thy people. Because Absalom's not chasing David by himself. Israel has basically turned against David. They've accepted Absalom as their king. And the part of the army that didn't follow David is now pursuing David. And David says, blessings on thy people. Can you bless the people that are the obstacle? That takes faith, doesn't it? That takes confidence in God. See, here's what I believe. David, his men were watching every move he made. How David responds to this circumstance, how David responds to this obstacle, this opposition, will determine how they react. It will determine what they do. How David reacts, how David responds to this problem, will determine a great deal about the future of the nation of Israel. And here's where it really becomes real, folks, especially those of you that are parents, your grandparents, aunts, uncles. See, somebody's looking at your life. Maybe your own child or someone else's. Maybe your grandchildren. But here's what I believe the lesson that we learn from this psalm, from this story in David's life. How you deal with the obstacles in your life will be one of the greatest testimonies or the greatest failures before your children, your grandchildren, your employees, whoever. Anybody can come into God's house and sing, "Praise ye the Lord," when there's money in the bank and the kids are behaving and the doctor's reports are good. But David, from a cave, running for his life, says, "I'm going to trust God and I'm going to follow Him." You know, one of the greatest influences you can have on your children is how they see you deal with adversity in your life. How they see you deal with the problems and the burdens and the obstacles in your life. Do you lose it? Do you go nuts? Or through it, even dealing with the obstacle, are you even able to trust God and give Him glory? How do you deal with the obstacles in your life? I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment as our musicians come. How do you deal with the obstacles? How do you deal with opposition? See, how you handle those things, more people see that than will ever see how you walk on the mountaintop. Some of you need to come to this altar this morning and you need to kneel and say, Lord, help me to deal with the obstacles. Help me to deal with the opposition. Help me to deal with the problems. Help me to deal with the hard times in my life. I want others to be able to see you in me and how I deal with those circumstances and situations. I want you to be glorified. Help me to rekindle my commitment. Help me to remember my calling, that I am your child and nothing can separate me from the love of the Father.